Hello, PMP. It's time for some office hours. I was just planning my day tomorrow in my little planner, getting myself ready. Let's see who's here and who wants to be coached tonight. Oh, wow. Three people. Yay. Christina, you are first. All right, look for join audio in the bottom left.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm good. What's up?
Okay, so I was talking to my accountability groups last night. I'm sorry I look crazy. I just got done working out.
Oh, you are excused if you got done. If you just finished working out, you're in good shape.
So I was talking to my accountability groups, and they brought up just this really good topic.
Okay.
About snacking.
About what?
And the question was, like, how to incorporate your snacks. Do you eat them? Do you eat them if you're hungry? Do you not eat them? And so on. So my version of snacking and what I do is I have the same snacks every day. I'm so sorry. He'll get down. He'll stop. So my version of snacking is, like, I have two snacks. Well, I have a variety of snacks that I put in my plan every day. Mm-hmm. And I'll do, like, coffee for breakfast. And then around 10 o'clock or so, I'll do a handful of trail mix and maybe some mandarins. And that holds me up to my lunch about 12:30 or 1 or so. And that's pretty typical routine. But then I have these, like, other snacks that aren't necessarily, like, my nutritional, like, carrying me over in the snacks. Like, every day, I go and I talk to my boss, and my boss has, like, a little candy dish, and I know that I dip in the candy dish. So I have limited my candy dish grab-assing to 4 pieces of candy a day. And it's not that I do it every day, but it's there available to me if need be, you know, but at least I have a limit.
Okay. And those are on your plan?
They're on my plan.
Okay.
And then I have, like other snack, like I bought Girl Scout cookies a few months ago, and they're sitting, like, in a difficult spot for me to get to, but I put them on my plan all the time. And I've, out of the 18 days that I've planned, 19 as of today, I've only had Girl Scout cookies once.
Okay.
So I don't know if I'm doing this right or if it's wrong. I feel like if they're on the plan, they're on the plan.
They are. And that makes your plan realistic because you're going to eat them, right?
Potentially.
Okay.
Yes. So there's, like, a safety blanket of not failing, maybe.
Well, okay. Let me ask you this. They're on the plan.
Yes.
The 4 pieces of candy in your boss's office is on the plan.
Yes.
You go in your boss's office, you eat 4 pieces of candy, you're on plan. How do you feel about that?
I mean, I feel fine because it's on the plan.
Okay. You getting the results you want each week?
Yes. I mean, well, I actually just got coached 19 days ago with Corinne about assessing.
Okay.
First of January, I got coached from Betsy about not doing my plans consistently. So I improved that.
Okay.
Then I got coached in February about assessing. So I started doing that.
Right.
And, so I'm little by little, I'm getting there.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
February was a rough, or March was a rough, wherever we are. April now.
We're in April now.
March was a little bit rough, but the minute I started doing my assessments, I started seeing my results again. Mm-hmm. So I'm happy with that. And I know eventually I need to level up on these things, maybe go down to 2 pieces of candy. And
right.
Again, not daily, but it's there. So I don't know if I need to level up. I don't know what I want.
What do you think you need to do? How do you feel about what you're doing right now?
First thing, as soon as I woke up this morning, I got on my accountability group and I told them I was completely okay with my current situation.
Okay.
And I know that if I get a point where I don't see results again, then that's exactly where I need to look at about leveling up. But I feel like right now it's a security blanket. And my other thing was they helped me out and made me realize that, okay, it's on my plan. But if I'm technically not hungry, but I want to eat them, it's still considered an overeat because I'm not hungry.
That is true. It's an overeat because you're not. Yeah. I mean, I was going to get there. I wanted to see how you felt about the plan first.
Right.
It sounds like it's realistic. It sounds like it's, you know, you are okay with the candy being on your plan. And at this stage in your weight loss, you're losing a little bit of weight each week.
Yeah. Yes.
And so you know that that's what you would need to clean up in your plan.
Right.
If you, you know, hit a stall. Mm-hmm. So that was the next thing I was going to ask you is, when you're eating these four pieces of candy, let's back up. I'm guessing the mandarins and the trail mix you're hungry for in the morning.
Yes. Okay. Right.
So we'll just take
hungry for those.
Right.
Yeah.
That's almost like breakfast, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it could be a snack or it could be breakfast, whatever, but you're hungry for that. And then you're hungry for lunch.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
It's just this grab assy candy that is what you're not necessarily hungry for, or are you hungry?
No, I mean, I just think that they're just grab-assy.
Okay.
To be honest. You know, it's just a habitual, I'm going to go in the office. Oh, here's a Jolly Rancher. Mm-hmm. Oh, I go in the office. Here's the bite-sized Snickers, you know, and it's not necessary,
right?
But it's security that I'm not cheating on myself.
Well, and that's very true. And there's something to be said for that. But at some point, you're going to have to decide whether that security, that's an interesting thing to call a Jolly Rancher, you know, you know, whether that security is really going to keep moving the needle for you.
Okay.
Okay. So I think that's kind of where you are. Your plan is realistic, and that's what we want you to be.
Okay.
And you know that in the future, that's the edge you'll probably need to clean up, trim up around. So for now, if you know that you're going to be eating those things and you're not ready to give them up, I'd put them on the plan.
Yeah. Okay. I think maybe next month I'll maybe like get some Laughing Cows and pretzels or something and keep them in my...
Or maybe just instead of... Yeah. Or maybe just instead of putting four pieces of candy on the plan, put three or two. Okay. You know, just back it off that way too. Any way you want to try it, there's no wrong answer. The only wrong answer is not doing it, right?
Okay.
So you can decide how you want to level up, whether it's to change from candy to Laughing Cow or to just decrease the amount of candy.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes. Thank
you. That helps? You're welcome.
All right. Great.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
All right. Christy, you're next. I have a funny story about Christy. Find your join audio. Bottom left. Can you find it? On the little menu bar, bottom left.
There we go.
There you are.
Okay.
So did you hear me say I have a funny story about you?
Oh, God, no.
You want me to tell it?
Yes, I guess. Okay.
So she was doing a webinar for the opening today, and she talked about you. She talked about all of your amazing success, but she talked about somebody asked about recovery worksheets, and she said, "Let me tell you about Christy at camp."
It's one of my favorites, so I tell everybody that myself. So,
So for those of you who don't know, Christy had hit a stall, right? About 140 or 50 pounds in.
Yeah.
And Corinne said, "Let's see your food logs." And Christy didn't have any food logs.
She's like, "How many recovery worksheets have you done?" And I'm like, 20. And I got back home and it was really 5. Queen. And then she asked Jennifer Say, "How many have you done?"
And it was like 300.
Or something like that. And I'm like, okay. So I went home and started doing those damn recovery worksheets. And
And you've lost 60 more pounds or something.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Do what Queen says.
Exactly. So what's up tonight?
Oh God, this is my daily dare. Okay.
You didn't want to talk to me?
Well, it's the subject that I'm going to talk about.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh God. Okay. So I am a social worker and I'm, just passed my clinical social work test so that I can have my own private practice. Mm-hmm. doing therapy, but I've decided that I would rather go with the online life coaching model instead, just okay. because of what I want to focus on. I don't want to limit the people I can help to those that are in my, like, that can drive to me.
Okay.
You know, mm-hmm. business sense to do it online.
Okay.
My dogs.
I had dogs on the last call too.
So, but yeah, they're singing the song of their people. There's just so much drama around this. It's unbelievable. And I don't.
And, tell me about the drama.
Well, part of it, and I was really kind of trying to hone in on this during Corinne's Zoom teaching last night. I'm a big overthinker. And so I'm trying to discern when I'm like legitimately planning as opposed to what's the difference in going into something just half-cocked, just to be into action. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Because I have a friend who is embarking on something similar to this, and she is just blazing trails, man. She is like going all in and all this kind of stuff. And I'm just like, how do you do this? You know, like, how are you, like, she's already got a group set up and all this kind of stuff. And I mean, she made up her mind like 2 weeks ago, and I've been sitting on this for like 6 months, you know? And at one point I was working with a partner and we decided, you know, to do it separately for now. And I mean, I've just been in this planning mode for like 6 months. And part of me is like, just do something, damn it. Just go do something. And then I'm like, yeah, but I mean, I don't want to do something stupid because I'm not ready. But then again, it's like, will you ever be ready? It's like they say about having a baby. You'll never be ready to have a baby. Just have a damn baby.
No, that's not the problem. The not being ready is not the problem. You know what the problem is?
I don't believe I can do it.
I don't want to do something stupid.
Yeah.
That's okay. The problem.
That is the problem. That's okay. My biggest fear.
How do you decide what's stupid? You know what's, you know, I don't like the word stupid. Okay. let's just say that first. What if you just did something and it didn't work out? What would happen? Would like your house burn down, or, you know, your reputation go to pot, or, you know, I mean, what's the worst that can happen if you do something and it doesn't work out?
I guess my mind goes to, you screw everything up and you can't fix it. Like, mm-hmm. I think that's my fear, is doing something so wrong that I can't fix it.
What, give me an example of something that would be so wrong you couldn't fix.
Screwing up financially so bad that, like, I don't know, the IRS shuts me down. Can that happen? I don't know. Like, I don't know anything about.
You can't even think of anything that would be so bad you couldn't fix it.
Yeah.
Even if the IRS came after you, they offer a payment plan.
Okay.
I mean, that's what you're doing is you're indulging in confusion.
Okay.
As long as you sit and overthink this and get confused about it and worry about it and decide you don't know which path to take. You don't decide anything.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah.
You get to just sit in your safe little comfort zone and not do anything.
Yeah.
And so that's what the problem is. The I don't want to do something stupid is covering all that up. It's masking all the self-doubt and the confusion that you've got going on.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah. So
tell me what your result line is. Now I have a tickle in my throat.
For like the, I don't want to do anything stupid, I guess, like not do anything, which really is more stupid.
No, tell me ultimately what you want. What is the goal?
Ultimately what I want? Mm-hmm. I mean, ultimately I want to help as many freaking people as I possibly can. Like, I want to be able to reach as many people as I can.
Are you there?
Yeah.
I just set something on my keyboard that wasn't real smart. Okay. So the result line is a successful practice. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. I just
help as many people as I can.
Yeah.
What do you want the result line to be? Help as many people as I can.
Yeah.
That's kind of like an action, but we'll go with it.
Oh, okay.
What do you have to do to help as many people as you can?
My first thought is so much.
Just start listing some things. Don't think about it. Just tell me what do you have to do?
Create the content, get it out there, whether it be YouTube, blog, podcast, website.
Publicize. What else? Market.
Yeah. Learn something about business, which I know nothing about.
Okay. What else?
You said market. So find the people. Do the therapy or the coaching or whatever it's going to be called, those are the top things that I can think of right now.
It's not a huge list. That's four things, right? What do you have to feel in order to do those things?
Competent.
And what thought leads?
That's what I think I have to feel. Maybe I don't have to feel that, but
prepared comes to mind.
Okay.
Something like that. And what thought leads you to competent, to feeling competent? What do you have to think?
I can do this.
Yeah.
Do this. I'm capable.
Fine.
And I read somewhere one time, this slapped me in the face, there are people way less qualified than you doing exactly what you want to do and more just because they believe they can. And I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah. I'm just going to put the C line. I'm going to put Christy's practice. Okay. Mm-hmm. Whether it's therapy or social work or coaching or whatever. Okay. So this model, it's not that far off, right? You just have to focus in on this action line and decide which one of these things needs to be first. Right?
Okay. Yeah.
So which one needs to be first? You've got creating content, publicizing, marketing, and coaching or treating or, you know, whatever the practice is.
Probably the first one I think of is create content, but that's my comfort zone. So that's not it.
Okay.
The one that makes me the most uncomfortable is like publicizing and marketing. So that's probably the one that I need to focus on because that one makes me the
All
most
right, let me ask you this question. If we were having this conversation about the four basics and you weren't doing any of them, you were totally overwhelmed, you didn't know where to start, which one would you start with?
I wasn't doing any of them?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
You'd probably start with the easiest one.
Oh, yeah.
Because that gets you started. It gets you off the fence. It gets you out of your thinking zone. So why not work on a little bit of content? Figure out what you'd want to teach, who you'd want to teach it to. And that kind of evolves into how do you create your business and who do you want to be business partners with? And then, well, wait, I have this business now. How do I want to talk to people? Who do I want to work on? You know, you see what I'm saying? It just starts the ball rolling.
Yeah.
You start with that part that you're comfortable with and it just kind of, it starts to blossom out.
Yeah.
So if you were starting the four basics, you might start making sure you got enough sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay, I got sleep down. Let me try water next.
Yeah. Right? Okay. Whew. This was nerve-wracking. Like, this one was a hard one. Like,
why?
Well, I think I've been very reluctant to talk about this in public. Like mm-hmm. I've talked about it with, you know, Hot Mess Express mm-hmm. and really just recently because it makes it more real, you know?
Why don't you want it to be real?
I'm afraid of what people will think. I'm afraid that they'll be like, you know,
which
has no business, you know, trying to be a coach or, you know, something like that.
What if they do think that?
That should matter.
What if they do think that?
I won't have any customers or clients. Well,
there's an awful lot of people out there.
Well, that's true. That's true.
How do you feel about you doing this? Do you feel like you're...
I go back and forth.
I think that's what judgment usually when we're thinking about what other people might be thinking about us, it's usually what we're thinking about ourselves.
Yeah. Yeah. I go back and forth. Like, mm-hmm. 'cause there's still so much of the old me that, you know, tries to not just the fat girl thinking, but, you know, old Christy, because there's been so much that I have been able to change about my life is unrecognizable mm-hmm. In a very amazing way. And mm-hmm. so, you know, I about half the time that old Christy comes back and I have to really, you know, do all the work, you know, I have to do the thought work and be aware and catch those mm-hmm. thoughts and do all the things. And,
So old Christy is just practiced neuropathways,
yep.
habit thoughts.
Yes.
As you practiced for a long time and you see them come in and you get to say, I see you, old Christy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah, you can.
There's 38 years of that. So.
Don't park because you're not staying.
Don't get comfortable, honey, because you're about to leave.
exactly. I mean, there's old Kathy. I'm sure there's old Corinne. You know, we all have, if we are taking any opportunity to improve, any, you know, any work, doing any work on ourselves to improve, the old thoughts are still going to be in there. They're eventually going to get a little bit quieter, but they're going to crop up now and then. You just have to be okay with knowing that they're going to crop up.
Yeah. Yeah. And sitting with the fear, because, and you know, Corinna said, if it scares the shit out of you, that's how you know it's what you're supposed to be doing. And I'm like, well, I have just as much fear as I do excitement about this. And, mm-hmm. you know, before I let that fear stop me, and I'm not going to do that this time. And there's a lot of good work to be done.
There is. There's a lot of people out there to help, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah. So does that help?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
So what's next? What's the next step?
I'm going to start just putting content on paper mm-hmm. and rough drafting it. Like it doesn't have to be my dissertation for God's sake. Like that's the other thing I go to is it's got to be perfect. It does not have to be perfect.
Nope.
And I think I've picked a name and then just getting out there with coming soon. You know, like some coming soon stuff, Facebook, Instagram, all the things, and looking into, you know.
So what is your deadline? Give yourself, go ahead and decide when coming soon is going to go up. You've picked a name. So, you know, you're probably going to do a business license or something, I guess.
I think I put Thursday because it's one of my daily dares is that I have to do the coming soon for Facebook. And I'm pretty sure it's Thursday cause I don't have it in front of me, but yeah, that's one of my daily dares for this week is
that's going to be really key. Setting deadlines for yourself is going to be really key. And even to the point where you're setting deadlines on the decisions that you make.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. I'm going to make this decision by Friday and then I'm going to choose to be okay with whatever decision I make.
Yeah.
Right. It's just like doing a 24-hour plan and evaluating it. I didn't lose weight this week. Why not? Okay, I'm going to change this up. Well, this didn't work out the way I wanted it to in my business. Why not? All right, let's try this. It's the same concepts.
Yeah. Yeah, and I keep trying to remind myself that it's not failure. You're just learning. Like, mm-hmm. you know, and I, like, if I try something and it doesn't work, okay, fine, try something different. Like, that doesn't mean you shut the door and close the shutters. I just, you know, Tanya, she, my Hot Mess Express girl, she's like, she will have a name by Thursday.
Oh, did she put that in the chat or something?
Yeah, she's texting me. We have a Hot Mess Express text group. Mm-hmm. And they're always, we're always trying to watch each other when we're getting coached. So,
okay. But that's really key, though. Setting deadlines for yourself, yes. Especially deadlines on your decisions.
Decisions, yes. That mm-hmm. podcast, Corinne and you did, that was, that's one of the things I'm trying to practice is, okay, you just have to pick something, right. You know, like pick a name by Sunday or you're going with Christy Stewart coaching and that's boring as hell. And you don't even know if you want to call yourself a coach yet. So
something like, about that. I did okay. The same thing. Okay. I set up my own business mm-hmm. and yes, I'm Kathy Hartman coaching. Do you know why? Because if somebody on the podcast or somebody somewhere wonders if I do any coaching on the side, they're going to Google my name. They're going to find me because, you know, if I named it heartfelt coaching or something, you know, whatever, my name's not attached to that. They wouldn't find me.
Yeah.
And I thought the same thing. I thought, that's boring as hell. Everybody does that. And Corinne said, why do you think everybody does that? So they can find you. And I was like, oh.
That's true. Mm-hmm. That's a good point.
So I'm not trying to tell you what to name your business. You name it whatever you want. But I thought that was, I just thought I'd share that.
Man, I tell you what, Corinne and Brooke, they have a mind for this shit, man.
Like, you know why?
Why?
Because they weren't perfect.
Because they weren't perfect?
They weren't.
Oh, they weren't. Oh, okay. Perfect. Yeah.
They figured out along the way what worked and what didn't, and they kept going. They just their toe in and said, this is the decision. We'll see if it works. If it doesn't, we'll make another one.
Yeah. That's science. Like, that's how all of our medical discussion, people just try shit until it fucking works. Like,
yep.
And if it's good enough for scientists, then it's got to be good enough for me, right?
Yep.
It's just all a big experiment. That's what this is. It's all a big experiment. Yep. And yeah.
And for you, you just have to, being confused and not making a decision is just keeping you comfortable.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, I think I hide in my overthinking.
Mm-hmm. That's what we do. I think
that's one of my hiding places. And it, you know, it feels productive and
right.
All that, but
it's not.
Yeah, it's not at all.
Thanks.
Ugh. You're so good.
Thank you. Thank you. I tell you what, I just get you. That's the only reason. I just understand you.
Oh my God.
Am I seeing you next week?
No. I had to make big girl choices and
okay.
Yeah.
See you in June?
Yes. Yes. Right. That was one of the choices I had to make. I can either do April camp or June race. And I haven't done a race. So
all right. Perfect. Yep. Perfect. Yep. All right. I'm looking forward to the big update on the business then in June.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. See ya.
Bye.
Bye. Okay. That was fun. Ala, you are next. All right. Look for your join audio in the bottom left.
Okay.
There you are. Hello.
Hello. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm very good. Well, first of all, I want to say either I'm seeing you in the new light or you got your hair done because it's looking fabulous.
Oh, well, thank you. I got a haircut.
It looks nice. It looks like highlights because, you know, Betsy always getting props for the bangs.
Yes.
So I have to give you props for your highlights. And, you know, because with the try opening, there's been a lot of older pictures of the three of you that I haven't seen in a while. And I'm like, either I'm just hallucinating or Kathy got her hair done. But anyway, it looks fabulous.
Thank you. That's so nice of you. You can come on office hours anytime.
Okay. Well, I plan to. Anytime. So we coached a couple of weeks ago. I was just wrapping up some interviews I was doing, and I realized that I really do seek a lot of validation from others, and my feeling of not being worthy, not being valued, worthless. So I am making a lot of progress on that, and that's not what I want to coach get coached on today. But I've been yelling a lot, because that was kind of a big epiphany, that a lot of my overeating at the end of the day is all about the inside insecurities that I don't communicate outside or portray, but I obviously feel and think about things, right? So so what I realized when I was doing my assessment for this month, for the month of March, I had a small gain, small loss, 0.4 for the whole month. And I definitely noticed I had more storm eats. So my thing is, you know, I do fog eating and storm eating, and my storm eating is, you know, tired, looking for entertainment, looking for reward, and then bored, looking for entertainment, looking for reward, and then the overall feeling valued issue. So what I realized, Kathy, is, you know, and I have this thought, even though I know I will always overeat for the rest of my life, I have this fear and expectation that I still wanted to stop. And what I noticed with my assessment, which I'm not saying, you know, there were other factors, but I definitely storm ate more in March than in, you know, since I joined the tribe and since I've been a groupie, or at least I have awareness of that now. And what I actually tried to TDL before the call, so at least you don't have like totally raw material to work with today. And I wrote, I realized that I do expect for the overeating to stop. Right. So when I have a storm eat, I get mad and discouraged. I am going to jump on the off. I'm going to jump on the office hours because I said I don't trust myself not to make one overeat, a slip, turn into a slide. And this is the old Weight Watcher thing that we used to talk about. There is, you know, you don't have to be perfect, because I'm also a recovered perfectionist, but don't let the slide turn into the slip turn into a slide, right? So then you just give up on the program, right? And then I have, I try to turn it positive, and because I'm practicing the leathering thoughts too for my valued issues. So I wrote, I'm beginning to think that it is possible for me to overeat and still achieve my long-term weight loss goals. So ultimately though, after I kept TDLing, I said, I think ultimately it is losing control issue for me. For someone like me, that is everything. I'm ashamed of this past experience, because when I lose control, I gain the weight back, and it is a visible reminder of my weakness, and I cannot get away from it. So I guess I know I need to work on this, because ultimately it's my past diet mentality, you know, coming back to, if you make a mistake, it will turn into a big mistake, and then you're just going to give up and you're not going to achieve your goals. And then I have this other fear that no matter how good I'll do and I'll lose all my weight and I'm 100% comfortable that I will get to my goal weight, that I have another thought somewhere that you're not going to sustain it because you never have in the past.
You are right about all those thoughts, that those thoughts are holding you back. But there is one thing you said that lies beneath those thoughts.
Okay.
That's the one thing you need to work on. Okay. And that is, you don't trust yourself.
Okay.
That's what's underneath. I'm going to get it all back. I'm going to storm eat. I'm not going to come back if I storm eat. I'm going to slip and slide. Underneath all that is, you don't trust yourself to stay with the program regardless of what happens, no matter what.
Yeah.
You even said that. Did you hear yourself say it?
Oh, I did. So before I turned it into positive, so I kind of, when I TDL, it's like my mind is a little all over the place. So I did like the negative. Then I said, I'm beginning to think that it is possible, right, for me to overeat. And that was right after I said, I don't trust myself. And then I said, I even have evidence of people who have lost the weight, like Corinne for 14 years, and she admits to overeating. And I even wrote, and I think Kathy as well for 8 years, right? And I certainly heard Betsy talk about. So I have all of this evidence in front of me of people who overeat. And I think this came up for me a couple of office hours ago with Betsy, where she said, I think you're thinking about that you expecting the store meats to go away. Mm-hmm. And you will continue to overeat. And I think ultimately that's what I struggle with is I can't, like the minute I make a mistake, and that's what I noticed in my data from March, I had an overeat and then a better day and then two overeats in a row because mm-hmm. ultimately I wasn't, you know, I went to look at my TDLs, what I was writing about, but I know what I was doing. Mm-hmm. It's like I was, again, going back to that old punishment of yourself, self-sabotage of, well, here you go, Miss Perfectionist. You made a mistake. I guess you can't do it, right? And so let's have 4 days in our dirty diaper.
I was going to ask you, what do your assessments look like when you overeat? And you beat yourself up, right?
My recovery worksheets?
What? Yeah, hold on.
Okay. Oh, I have one, right? I have my number 14 for the month of March right in front of me. So I could tell you, actually, this was a long one because I must have really felt bad about this one if I did the long one. So right before, which part? What excuses or justification do I want? Let's see.
Go straight to the part where you just whip yourself up, you know, beat yourself up because you've overeaten. Just go straight to that part.
Okay. So this is still about the job promotion. I was restless all day about the job promotion situation. I needed a reward and I was tired after a long day. I was thinking something salty, like those nuts sound good. I also needed a something and distraction, maybe even entertainment, even though I was watching a movie. I was sitting with discomfort for an hour. I think I was allowing it. I reminded myself that this is a worse as it will get, that my mouth watering is not going to kill me. Oh, because how Corinne, that's not like the worst thing that's going to happen to you. So I said that to myself now too. I was also remembering how Corinne talked about it on the recent overeat course. For fuck's sake, you don't need to be rescued from a watering mouth. I don't recall any resistant thoughts, just that I don't want to do a recovery worksheet if I do. My recovery worksheet is becoming like the resisting thought, like of to overeat. It's like, what's the worst? Is the overeating or the recovering? So this says that I don't remember any resistant thoughts or white knuckling, just that I don't want to do a recovery worksheet if I do it. And then my actions stopped earlier. I didn't need to finish that whole bag. I guess I had a whole bag of nuts that day. What feeling or problem did the eating solve? Validation, reward, entertainment. How did you feel after? Disappointed. How did you feel physically? +3 physically, I was extreme, expecting worse because nuts are heavy, but it wasn't that bad. And then what I could have done differently is I would have went to bed earlier. I was tired.
All right. So give me a one sentence summary of what you learned.
In that I should go to bed when I'm tired and not eat.
Okay. So that's fine, right?
Mm-hmm.
So next time you're tired, you might think about this. You might not, but you might. I bet you'll think about this after doing it 4 or 5 times, though. Right?
Yeah.
Because you're not going to solve overeating when you're tired with one recovery worksheet.
Right.
Right? Were you listening to Christy's call when we talked about Jen, who's done 300 of them?
I have. I was. In the month of March, I had 14 recovery worksheets.
That's a beautiful thing because you are continuing to look at your overeating, right?
Yeah.
What you have to do is be sure you don't beat yourself up about it, because that's a negative action that's going to produce a negative result.
Yeah.
You're going to be mad at yourself. Right?
Yeah. And that's the funny thing. Like when I read the data, if I was not myself, but somebody else, they would say, I don't hear her beating herself up. Like I don't hear the fat girl thinking, am I like delusional? Because I feel like I think my continuous problem, like that's not me, but because I don't really see it as that, you know, I guess, I don't know if I'm making sense, right? Because like, if I say I don't trust myself, I guess it's fat girl thinking or beating myself up, but maybe for me,
that's exactly what it is. It's fat girl.
Is that what it is?
So why don't you just say, I do trust myself? I can trust myself.
Well, I trust myself in all the areas, but my weight loss, and I have evidence of that in my life. Every single thing, my family, my marriage, my career.
I can trust myself in my weight loss. I can trust myself to evaluate when I overeat. I can trust myself to make a plan. I can trust myself to evaluate when I go off plan. I can trust myself enough to see myself through this weight loss. Failures, mistakes, successes, and every bit of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's all it is, because you're not, there's not going to be a linear straight line to perfection in weight loss. Never, ever will there be. Okay. I can tell you, what is today? Tuesday. I was telling, another girl Saturday night, I was home by myself and I decided I was having ice cream. I was by myself. I even texted my husband. So it was not a secret eat, because that's my pattern. Mm-hmm. You know, nobody will know what I eat. Right.
Mm-hmm.
I texted him and I said, I'm eating ice cream.
You're probably like, good for you, Kathy.
And he was like, and, but I had to tell somebody, and I ate a bowl of ice cream. That was not on my plan. I wasn't hungry for it. I was lonely. Did my recovery worksheet. Didn't beat myself up, but I saw, you know, I went through and I said, you know, yes, that was an overeat. Yes. You know, you don't, this is not what we usually do. And why did I do it? And I processed it and put it on my stack of recovery worksheets and moved on.
So what was your, so I guess the part I'm struggling with is, mm-hmm. So what is your, I think the question is, what did you learn from this? What would you do next? So something like this, where you know exactly what you're doing, you can pinpoint, you've been doing it for years. What would be your, what would you do next? And what did you learn from it? Would it not be the same thing you said last time?
It could be, but it mm-hmm. might be something different. In my case, it was next time I'll stick to my plan.
Okay.
Next time I'll tell myself you can have this tomorrow when you plan it.
Mm, okay.
That kind of thing. You know, it wasn't on my plan. And what I decided, I had a beer on my plan. And what I decided was, I'll skip the beer and have the ice cream. So I intentionally went off plan.
Yeah.
Right. So my recovery worksheet said, we don't do that. You know?
Yeah. Okay.
We stick to plan. Okay. So next time you'll plan it and have it the next night, or you won't, you know, or you just will say, I'm not having ice cream. You know, you'll stay on the plan.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, I hope everybody, somebody fall in your house.
No, I think my husband went in the dishwasher.
Okay.
He dropped something.
Is everybody okay? That sounds like Corinne was lifting dumbbells in your house or something, and something dropped. So I think then, just through our conversation, I think I have the same, well, I know I have the same challenge that Christy does. I overthink things and make it more difficult because I can't see past that the answer is as easy as, which I write, I'll stick to my plan. You should go to bed when you're tired instead of eat. Put it on your plan tomorrow. Stop eating fat, you know, earlier. Leave 2 bites behind. You wanna, like, it's, to me, it's almost like too easy. Again, which is a different topic, right? Like, stop making the program hard. Right. Okay. Well, that helps, because I'm like, well, I should be doing more. So it's almost like the other self-punishment would be, you should be, your recovery worksheet should be like the best recovery worksheet ever in the world, because for you to prove that you
best
could trust
ever
it.
In the world.
You know?
Unfortunately, all right, I'm going to give you an assignment. You're getting homework, Allah. Okay.
Well, I'm already doing 5 minutes of boredom for Betsy. So I'm doing that. I'm practicing with boredom and not eating. But no, I'll take homework.
You're going to write down 25 ways you can trust yourself as you lose weight.
Okay.
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 25. These are all the things I know I will do and I can trust myself to do to lose weight.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then you're going to read those as often as you, whenever you think, I can't trust myself, I'm going to slip and slide, I'm not, I can't trust myself not to quit. You're going to go back and you're going to see, but I can trust myself to make a plan every day. I can trust myself to do my water. I can trust myself to get on office hours. So, you know, once you go through those 25 things, you'll say, you know what, maybe that overeat was okay because I can trust myself to do all these other things.
Mm. And I just had my 200 days of, it's actually over 200 days now of planning. I think it's like 210 now.
Yeah. I can trust myself to do a recovery worksheet when I have an overeat. I can trust myself not to beat myself up when I do my recovery worksheet.
Okay. Yeah, gotcha.
Okay. See, start telling yourself, your brain, that you can trust yourself, and here's how.
Okay.
Yep, makes sense? All right. Makes absolute
sense. Thanks so much.
You're welcome. See ya.
Bye.
Okay. Kara, you're next. All right, Kara, look for the join audio in the bottom left of your screen.
Okay.
Oh, there you are. Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
I don't know. Therefore, I'm doing a coaching call.
Okay. What's up?
Well, I posted in the tribe today, and I've posted a couple of other times. My dad is in very poor health right now. He was just removed from the ICU 2 days ago, but he now has pneumonia, and he's been on a ventilator for almost a month. He is unable to talk. He cannot move his arms or legs. He can move his head a little bit. He can smile occasionally. He can just barely communicate. And tomorrow I have to go meet with some of his doctors to determine a long-term care plan. I'm an only child. My mother passed away almost 15 years ago. My dad does have a fiance who is pretty involved in helping take care of him. And I'm trying not to cry. but I have a very hard time with not beating myself up because I have to work full time. I have bills to pay. I have a car payment. Every time I have to ask my supervisor for time off to go to the hospital or whatnot, I feel like I'm letting my job down. But if I don't go help my dad, I feel like I'm letting him down. If I'm not cooking dinner, I'm letting my husband down, And I've always been taught that you put everybody first, and that if you don't, it's selfish. But in the meantime, I am not sleeping. Basically I'm struggling with everything right now, mentally, physically, everything. So I need to work on my thoughts around this whole situation.
Okay. So why are you choosing to feel guilty?
I've always been taught that just my entire life was you put everybody else before you. And when I was a small child, my mom was so sick and it was my job, if you will, to help take care of her. And that's just how I was raised pretty much.
So that's what you're doing. You're going to work, you're taking care of your dad, you're taking care of your family. So why do you feel guilty?
Because I feel like it's not enough.
That's the problem. Why is it not enough?
I feel like I should be with him all the time, but then I have responsibilities at my job that have to be done. There are certain, things that only I can do. And
if
then,
you quit that job, what would they survive? Would that company survive?
Oh yeah, they would.
Okay. So we're just going to take the job off the table.
Okay.
Because what you're doing is indulging in, I don't know what to do. You're Christy. Mm-hmm. I'm confused. I don't want to make a decision. The decision's too hard. It's real easy to say, I just can't do enough. And then you spread yourself in all these little areas.
Yes. And,
you're not able to focus on any one thing. So if you had to pick one thing that was most important to focus on, what would it be?
Being able to help my dad, help whatever that looks like. If that's
okay,
checking on him as I can, being up there as I can. I live over an hour away from where he is, so it's a difficult, thing trying to work and get up there through the week. So most of my visits have been limited to just the weekend.
Okay,
but I talk to his nurses day and night, and I keep in touch, but
why is that not enough? Why is that not enough?
because I feel like that the nurses and the doctors think I don't care because I can't be there.
Have they told you
all
that?
The time. No, nobody's actually said that to me.
So you're making that up.
Yes.
Okay. So we'll decide that that's not the truth. So what? Okay. Why else is that not enough?
I think a lot of it relates to when my mom was dying, and that I was in college, so I had a lot more freedom in terms of where I could be, and I did get to spend, you know, her last days with her. And I just feel like that if I don't be with him now, then I'm going to miss that chance with him too.
Okay. So this really isn't about your mom.
No.
It's about me. And it's about you. Mm-hmm. And it's about the story you're creating about why it's not enough.
Mm-hmm.
What if you decided it was enough, that you were doing all you could do and it's enough because you are taking care of everything you can take care of for him?
Mm-hmm.
What if you were to just decide that?
I would feel,
you're going up there every yeah. weekend. You're talking to the nurses and the doctors multiple mm-hmm. times a day. You're probably talking to his fiance.
Yes.
You're getting ready to help with long-term care plans. What if that is enough? You know, here's the thing, mm-hmm. Kara. You get to decide whether or not that's enough. You have all the decision-making power here.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. So I just have a hard time convincing myself that is enough. I feel like
why?
I should be able to do it. Well, I just feel like I should be able to do everything. And I know I can't, but.
I think you need to practice saying, I'm doing everything I can for him. And I'm, you know, I am enough. I am giving him enough. I'm doing, you know, I'm doing what I need to be doing for him as his mm-hmm. daughter.
Okay.
You're going to have to practice it to believe it. And that's okay.
I'll have to write it down.
Have to write it. Right. But what else? I mean, honestly, what else could you do?
Nothing.
Nothing. That's it. There's yeah. nothing. You're doing everything you can do. You mm-hmm. just said there's nothing else to do. So you can, you know, you can believe that you're doing everything you can do.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, you are doing enough.
Right. Because I'm by no means a neurosurgeon or any kind of specialist. And, you know, I can love him and pray for him and, you know, be there with him physically when I can. And
I would bet if he had a downturn, you would mm-hmm. tell that job of yours, I'm going to be back in a few days because I need to take care of my dad.
Right. Okay.
And you would tell that husband of yours, I'm going to be back in a few days, mm-hmm. I promise, but I need to take care of my dad.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So why isn't that enough? That is absolutely enough if you decide it is.
Mm-hmm. Because I've always told myself that people judge me and, you know, for that I'm not, and I think a lot of it, what it is because of my weight, you know, I always had to be better at everything because I was the fat girl. So I had to be the smartest in the room and I had to be the funniest in the room and I had to be the one who does everything for everybody else, you know. And so.
If you're worried about people judging you, it's because you're judging yourself.
Yes. And I
do. That's what all this is all about. You're judging yourself that you're not doing enough.
Yes.
At work, at home, with your dad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's where if you've made the choice to believe that, you can make mm-hmm. the choice to believe that you are doing enough and that you don't need to judge this part.
Okay. I'm going to write all of that down.
You just got to flip that switch, girl.
Repeat it. Yeah.
Yeah. You just got to flip that switch because
you're getting me nowhere.
No, it's not. And it's certainly not. I mean, if you're that supportive person, stabilizing person
mm-hmm.
in your world, you know, and that's what a lot of us moms are. We're the ones.
Yeah.
You have to be stable and you have mm-hmm. to be supportive of yourself in order to give that stability and support to other people.
I'm the one that they're all turning to and asking, even my dad's fiance, who has been there, you know, pretty much every day, because, you know, she has the freedom to do that. You know, she commented to me the other day, she said, I don't know how you sit here and you're not just a mess. And I said, you know, I have to be strong, you know, but I can't be that way all the time, you know. So I think it has finally caught up with me. So
stop telling yourself it's not enough.
Okay.
Okay. You have to stop that, because that just gets in the way.
Mm-hmm.
Just gets in the way of you being enough. Right?
It does. Mm-hmm. It blocks me from being able to do the things that I can do.
It blocks you from believing in yourself too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can do all the things, but that doesn't mean you believe that you're being enough. That's what I mean, you have to work up to that thought line to create the result that you want.
Okay.
Does that help?
Absolutely. Yeah. It's something that I know. Mm-hmm. But I just, like you said, I got to flip the switch, and I've got to have enough faith in me that I can do this, because that's an issue I have.
Here's the thing. Okay. This is like realistic planning, mm-hmm. right? You look back at yesterday
mm-hmm.
and you see everything you did, and you decide, well, if I got through yesterday, then everything I did was enough.
Right.
So how do I repeat that today? How do I make sure everything I do today is enough? Right? So we could go back and look at yesterday. How many times did you talk to the doctors yesterday?
Three.
Did you, you didn't go up there yesterday though, right?
No.
But you helped monitor care and decide mm-hmm. treatment three different times yesterday from an hour away.
Yes.
Right? How many times mm-hmm. did you do that today?
Twice.
Okay. Was so that far. Enough?
Yes.
It's exactly what he needed, right?
There have been little improvements. So.
Right. It's exactly what your dad needed, so it was enough.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it funny when you look at it that way? It seems really clear and much more mm-hmm. manageable.
It's not as intimidating when I think about it that way. So.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Hang in there.
So I will. Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay. Who is next? Christy, you're next. Then I have Jody Kim and Jay Curran. So let's see what you got, Christy.
Sorry, I had to come upstairs.
You didn't know you were next, huh?
Yeah, I was doing dishes and I have little ones and so fun. Yeah.
What's up, Christy?
So similar to Christy, I caught the tail end of hers.
Uh-huh.
I think she's a social worker as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I am too. And good times. So sorry, I have to plug in.
Okay.
So I currently work at a long-term care community. I'm the director of social services there.
Okay.
I work a lot. I had a really intense, last 2 weeks. I have a super supportive husband, and which is awesome, because he's giving me like this chance to work. Let me back up a little bit. So I'm working towards getting my clinical license in social work. So I'm obtaining my hours. The woman that is giving me my clinical hours has a private practice and has asked me to work for her before.
Mm-hmm.
And we have two young kids. We have a 6 and a 4-year-old. And ever since I've met him, or since I've been with my husband, I've been nonstop school, nonstop work. I'm running for a state office for the president of the National Association of Social Workers, Pennsylvania mm-hmm. chapter. So if I win mm-hmm. that, it's going to take up a lot of time for the next 4 years. But he said, would you want to go part-time and work at the private practice and not work at your full-time job? And I've been there 3 years. I love the team that I work with. Working is very important to me. But this is also a really good opportunity, because I'd have off the summer with the kids, which would be, you know, lovely. But the thing is, like, I see myself in private practice, but I thought maybe more in my like 40s, because I'm very happy like where I'm at right now and with what I'm doing. And I'm, but I'm also like, what I love about social work is that we're kind of like the jack of all trades and we can kind of go where we want to go. I became a end of life doula this year, and that's something that I was looking to pursue and kind of make into a business, because it's kind of brand new. That kind of thing. So like, it's kind of been on the back of my mind to open up something myself as well. And that's kind of what he's kind of suggesting. So this all came out yesterday. So I'm trying to work through, you know, my thoughts about it. I have to give a month's notice, and I still have to talk to the my clinical supervisor to see if the offer is still on the table, of course. But I'm just not, like, I'm really having a hard time, like, thinking what to do, you know, and I've, I haven't done a model yet. I've done some thought, like, I've done some, like, talking thought downloads in my Marco Polo groups, which, like, they've just been absolutely wonderful with support. So shout out to Century Club.
So what do you want to do?
I don't know. Like,
and no.
Yes,
if
I know. What do I want to do?
If you had to pick one, if somebody said, I'll give you $10,000, Christy, to pick one, but you have to decide in the next, you know, minute and a half.
Yeah.
What would you pick?
It's really hard because I,
you've got an inclination. You've got a nudge one way or two. You,
right.
Don't you?
Hey, hold on, Eric. I'm on the phone. Yeah.
You've got a nudge. You know what you want.
I know.
Stop thinking about what anybody else thinks you ought to do. What do you want to do?
It's just taking the leap, you know.
What is it?
It would be the private practice.
Okay. Yeah. But decision made.
Like, yeah, I know. Yeah.
Who's next? Yeah. Solve this one.
It's that easy.
It is that easy. I mean, it really is. It's all about deciding what you want and then developing a plan, an action plan.
Yeah.
Okay. So you've decided private practice. So what's the first thing you have to do?
Write a resignation letter. Well, I guess find out if it's the offer still on the table.
Well, okay.
You know.
See, all right. Offer still on the table.
And then what? Planning for. I guess kind of like what Christy's doing, like, looking at like what other opportunities I have, that I could create from working just part-time at private practice, and then exploring, what else I could do.
So how do you feel right now?
Like relieved. So
you're smiling awful big.
I know. It's just a lot, you know?
It's not.
I know it's not. Yeah.
Don't tell yourself that. It's not a lot. It's exciting. It's terrifying. Exciting. It's what I want to do.
Right. And like, I laugh because like, oh, I guess it was like a month, like maybe 3 weeks ago, I was on prednisone, and it made me really manic. Like, I guess I'm a bit of a talk, like fast talker, but whenever I was on the prednisone, I was like super fast. So like, they were making fun of me. But then I was like, you know, kind of my history with jobs is, I typically switch positions every 3 years.
Okay.
And I was kind of getting the itch a couple weeks ago, but like, I really like, I'm like, no, but I'm really happy where I'm at. And they give me a lot of opportunities there, you know, but then it's like, it's kind of like falling into my typical pattern of, you know, switching things up every 3 years.
Okay. Anything wrong with any of that?
Well, I don't know. Like, I wanted to like stay somewhere and get established and work on my skills, you know, for
why?
You know, for at least 5 to 10.
What? Arbitrary 5? Why?
Well, I don't, because that was like the longest I ever stayed somewhere. It was probably like 5 years whenever I was in like school. But
you have the skills to open private practice?
I think so.
Okay.
it's just getting my clinical license. That's what, mm-hmm. And now in Pennsylvania, you need to have your C to be able to open up private practice.
Okay. So that's one of your action steps, right?
Yes. Yeah.
That you can work on during this month that mm-hmm. you've, this month notice that you've given.
Yeah. Hey, that was easy.
All you had to do was make a decision.
I know. Yep.
Yeah.
Crazy. That's
really all it is. You just needed somebody to offer you $10,000.
Yeah, right. And just bounce it off. Yeah.
Yeah, you can send me. Yeah. You can send me an invoice.
Yeah, sounds great. I love it.
Go forth and do good work.
Yeah. Yeah. Go social workers.
That's right. It's a social work call. A social work business call tonight.
It really is. And that just made my heart smile. You know, and another Christy. So it's pretty cool.
You should reach out to Christy. I'm sure she'd love to talk to you. You could compare notes totally. About what your next steps are. You could create a little mastermind between the two of you and make sure you guys both get your businesses set up.
Yeah. Christy, if you're on here still, we should totally do that, buddy.
You need to be accountable to one another so you don't, you know, get confused and stuff.
Yes, definitely. Yeah. So, but definitely, I've been a member since I joined in January and it's mm-hmm. been life changing. So I'm really, really happy I found the podcast and it led me on this journey with all of you. So
it's pretty neat. Pretty neat place, isn't it?
Oh, it is. It really is. I can't believe it. Like the work that, y'all helped me through and everything. So it's great.
It's fun for me too.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. Thanks so much.
You're welcome. See ya. Bye. Bye. All right, Jody. You're up. Did you find your join audio?
You hear me?
Yeah, I hear you. Hello.
Hello. I'm in Canada and my connection is a little wonky, so I hope that it doesn't like crap out in the middle of this, but.
Oh, you're a little frozen. Have you had trouble with the call at all? It just since you added.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Yeah.
Oh, so it's a little slow. I don't know if this is actually going to work very well, but we'll see.
Okay. We'll try. Oh, Jody. Dang it. You are frozen up, lady.
Darn it. All right.
Try this. Well, you're in Canada. You can't call in, can you? Can you call in from Canada?
I can call voice only. I'm out of data on my, I'm on the hotel. So that's all right.
Okay. Go ahead. Go ahead and see. We're talking right now. Go ahead and see if we can get it done real quick. And you're frozen again. Dang it.
Yeah. Okay. So I basically just need a good kick in the pants. I'm overeating a lot and I've done my recovery sheets and I'm not finding really good solid reasons to do what I know I need to do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm finding myself overeating mostly at like evening meals, just eating past my two. And it's led to a little bit of a weight gain and I'm not getting back down where I want to be, where I normally am in my good spot. So I just thought, well, I'm here in the hotel and I'm by myself and you're sitting there. So it'd be a good time to have a good call and a good adjustment again, I guess.
Okay. So why are you overeating?
You know, I was thinking about this today and I did some downloads and the things that I come up with are, it's just that I want it. It's there. It's really good. I can't, you know, I know that I'm past my two and I just don't care. And it's also like justification, I think, a little bit. And mm-hmm. that I'm in maintenance. Well, I'm really not, because I've actually gained a little weight and I really should be back into the losing mindset as opposed to the maintenance mindset. So
do you really not care?
No, I do care.
I don't want to stop telling yourself that. Stop telling yourself I don't care.
Okay.
Because that's just fuel in the fire, right? That's just fuel in the, I want it and it's there. You know? Right. I mean, sure, you want it and it's there. Those are, those are the truth. The I don't care part is not the truth. So stop saying that. Pull the bullshit light on that one. Okay.
At the moment I want it and I don't care, I think is probably the thing that it's that second of, well, just crap. I just, you know. So yes, I see what you say. I see what you mean.
Yeah. So that's when you tell yourself, I know I want it, but I really care. You know,
that's the bullshit light, like, right?
Yeah. Right. You start that conversation, you know, and I do this because you got the, I don't care voice here and the, you really want to get back to maintenance voice here and you have to get talking again. Because right now the only thing talking is the, I want it and it's here and I don't really care and I'll work on this tomorrow and all the justification voice.
Right.
Right.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. So you have to get the conversation started with the voice that does care, that wants to get, you know, back down to the weight she likes, that doesn't really see a point in overeating, that kind of thing. So what I would do for you is I'd write down all those justification thoughts and I'd write answers for all of them. Okay. I had somebody do this the other day and I told her, I said it was the best answer I had ever seen anybody write down. And it was, the justification thought was, I don't know when I'll get this again. And her answer was, unless it's made on Mars, we can probably have it again. You know, so if you can answer each justification thought and start practicing those answers, then you might be able to turn yourself out of this. I don't know. Is it complacency or?
Probably.
Yeah.
A little bit of complacency because I've been here for 2 years and it's just in the last 6 months or so that it started to creep the opposite direction of where I want to be. And so some of it I think was the change in my job and I changed my routine up a little bit. So I've had to work through that. And I think I've worked through that enough, but it's the little niggly things I think that are adding up over time. In fact, Stacy is in my group and you coached her the other day and I listened to her call just tonight and talked about, you know, the times that you eat your three more often than it adds up over time. And I was telling her all this and I'm thinking to myself, I told her that, but yet I'm doing it myself. So it's easy to like see it yet not, you know? So I thought, well, I'll just get on here and have Kathy tell me so that it will be more like real, I think, if it's in my own head. And even on paper, sometimes it doesn't feel like it's really something I'm doing. It's just something that, you know.
It's so interesting to me because if anybody shows up for herself, it's you. You're in the gym. You're lifting, right? You're still doing all that. You're showing up that way. Why aren't you showing up in your food?
I don't know. I think it's just because... I don't know. Let me think about this a little bit.
If you had to guess, what would the answer be?
I think it's just wanting to be a little self-indulgent, like I deserve it.
Mm-hmm. Do you deserve the extra few pounds you put on you, Bob?
No. No one deserves extra. No,
you deserve to be at goal weight because you work hard. You don't deserve to overeat because you work hard.
And if you ask me, I really want to be below where I was at before. And I've had.
Oh, I hope you come back. I'm frozen up again, Jody.
Are you back? Still there?
There you are. Your signal is just weak. Did we get you close enough, do you think?
All right. I think so.
We got you close.
I just, like I said, I just needed a good.
Just think about what you deserve. Okay. Think about,
right.
I don't care. And think about what your goals really are and work some models. You know, think about, put your goal in the result line and think about what actions need to happen and what feelings and thoughts need to happen. Work your model from, like I did with Christy, work from the result line and go up.
Right.
And work a bunch of them. And then okay. start putting those. Once you, the great thing about the model here is that the more you hit that action line and create the result, the more believable the thought becomes. Okay.
Okay.
Are you coming to camp? You yeah. are, right?
Yeah.
So I'll see you next week.
I'm a mentor this time too. So.
Yeah. So, so maybe we'll do the real kick in the ass next week, right?
Right. This is just a free kick.
That's right. That's right. Maybe we'll just let Corinne have it.
All right. Thank you.
All right. We'll see you.
I love seeing you, talking with you.
You too. I can't wait to see you next week.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye. My very first ever accountability partner. Makes me happy to see you. All right. Who is next here? Next is Jay Curran. I'll have to get your first name, Jay. For your join audio in the bottom left.
I got it. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. Tell me who you are. What's your name?
I'm Jolynn.
How are you?
Well, I'm struggling.
Okay.
And I've just been dealt a very bad deck with my children. My son was getting married in June. Mm-hmm. And we just found out that my son's fiance, whose name is Danielle, is having an affair with my daughter's boyfriend.
Okay.
So, needless to say, it's rocked everybody's world, including mine.
Mm-hmm.
And I just have absolutely obsessed over several angry, bitter, awful thoughts, as you can imagine. I'm extremely angry, extremely upset. And of course, I have gone to binge eating.
Mm-hmm.
I have done several models. I mean, mm-hmm. several models every day, numerous times a day, to try to manage my mind. I know better than thinking the things that I'm thinking.
Mm-hmm.
I know that I'm not serving myself whatsoever by continuing to be angry and hurt and
mm-hmm.
obsessing.
Why are you hurt?
Because my children are hurt. I mean, I feel what they feel, and I have both sides of my heart crushed for.
Okay.
Alexis,
you're hurt because of your thoughts. You are not hurt because your children are hurt.
Right.
Okay. You know that you are choosing the thoughts that are creating the hurt. You could be choosing. Let me give you an example. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
What if you chose, thank God this happened before they got married?
That has been probably one of, every one of my models. I mean, all every right. one of my models. Have
that
been,
doesn't create hurt, right? That creates relief.
Right. When I'm doing my model, like, here's my thought of, I can't stand you two. I hate you two. How dare you two do this to mm-hmm. my children? Mm-hmm. Then when I go with the intentional model, it's like, mm-hmm. this was a gift from God. Mm-hmm. You know, at least there's not children involved.
Do you believe that? Do you believe those thoughts?
I absolutely do. Okay. I mean, I truly do.
So
completely understand.
Why are you spending so much time with the hate and the anger and the binging then?
I don't know. And that's why I'm calling, because I have, like I said, it's been 2 weeks. I have a huge, you know, faith in God. I have mm-hmm. done my devotions. I have read, you know, Joyce Meyer's book, Battlefield of the Mind. So I'm trying really hard to focus on changing my thoughts because I know the only way I'm going to get to where I need to be is to change my thoughts. And I'm just having an extremely difficult time.
So instead of just feeling the anger, you're resisting it. That's what I think you're doing. That's why you're binging. Instead of just going, I'm really angry and I'm just going to sit here and I'm just going to be angry. Instead of doing that, you're saying, I got to change this. I don't need to be angry. I'm going to distract myself. Oh, what is there to eat? Basically is what you're doing. Your binge is distracting you from being angry. So what if you just decide, I'm going to be really angry for the next hour. I'm going to sit here right in this chair, holding onto my blanket, and I'm just going to be angry and I'm not going to eat. And I'm going to feel that feeling and I'm going to let it sit here. And then after an hour, I'm going to get up and I'm going to, you know, be finished with the anger for now. What if you just create, do you know the Worry Bucket podcast?
No, I did. I don't remember.
What if you create an angry bucket? So from, I don't know, arbitrarily, what time is it? 7:21. Mm-hmm. From 7:30 to 8:30, you get to be as angry as you want to be, but you're not allowed to eat.
And I, if I remember correctly, I write my angry thoughts down and put them in the angry bucket.
You just be as mad as you want to be. You write down every nasty thing you want to write down at 8:30. It's done. And there's no eating. Then tomorrow night at 7:30, you get to be angry again. And when you feel that anger start to bubble up tomorrow during the day, you say, it's not 7:30 yet. I'm going to be good and angry at 7:30, but I'm not going to eat.
And that will hopefully diminish these obsessive thoughts because it's consuming me.
What will happen is you'll postpone those thoughts. You'll say, I'm going to think those, but I'm going to think them at 7:30. And then 7:30 will come and you'll sit down and you'll either gin them up or you won't. But over time, they'll get harder to, you'll be like, but I'm not mad right now. I was mad earlier. I'm not mad right now. It teaches you how to sit with an emotion, how to feel it. You pay attention. You feel it come on. Okay. You feel the heart race. You feel the muscles tense up. You feel all that. It's like crying. You know how when you're crying, it comes on and you cry and cry and cry. And then you start to ease and you stop crying. Little by little, you stop crying and the sniffles go away and you blow your nose and you're done. That's how a feeling works. Okay. So when you sit down and you really feel that anger, you let it come in and you feel it in your whole body and you think about how it feels, because all anger is, all a feeling is a physical response to a thought. Okay. And then eventually, after a few minutes, I don't know how long it will take for you, probably be longer the first couple of times you do this, you'll feel it ease off and you'll feel less angry, just like you'll stop crying. It'll ease on out.
It subsides and you feel. Yeah.
Exactly. Okay.
I like that thought. I think that will be extremely helpful.
What that does is it teaches you and your brain that you can handle that emotion without eating. Because you feel it come on, it's going to feel really uncomfortable. It's going to feel really urgent. But if you sit with it and you wait for it to subside, it's like showing your brain that the emotion will go away and it'll subside all by itself, naturally, without having to distract from it.
No food for a buffer. Just feel
Feel it. Just feel it. That's what your body is made to do. It's made to feel emotion. It's made to feel the good ones. We never binge through a good emotion, right? We never distract from a good one. And it's made to feel the not so comfortable ones.
So now I think what you said about resisting is resonating with me now.
Yeah.
I think you're right. I'm resisting that feeling.
Yeah.
Working so hard on focusing to change the thought that I'm just not setting with the feeling of anger.
Yeah. So once the anger subsides, then start working your intentional models.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, because I kind of feel like I'm just repeating the same model, you know, of mm-hmm. how I feel and then the intentional model. So I don't feel like I'm progressing, but I like this idea.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. You guys are wonderful. I appreciate you.
You're welcome. Things will come around. They usually do.
I hope so. I hope
they will.
Thank you so much.
You just take care of you and make sure you are honoring your feelings, because that's so important. That's some of the most important work we do, is honor our feelings, because it prevents the overeating. You know, so many of us, I don't know how long you've been on the call, but you may have heard me talk about my ice cream.
Yes.
I was covering up. I was totally buffering from loneliness.
Loneliness, right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If we just sit and we just feel and we let them come in and go off like waves, like the ocean, they come in, they crash, they move back out. If we just honor them, then, you know, we're not paying the price on the scale.
Okay. Thank you, right. Kathy. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Have Take a good care. Night.
You too.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Okay, Kim, it's your turn. Did you find your join audio in the bottom left?
Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Yay! I'm going to turn off this back light.
You are kind of soft. Do you have a volume?
I do.
You might turn yourself up a little bit. I'm turning you up a little bit too.
How's that?
Yep, better.
Okay. So I just turned the light off, so now I'm going to read in the dark.
Okay.
I watched last night's massive action bonus course, which mm-hmm. was awesome.
Was good, wasn't it?
Yeah, lots of information, really good. But started going through it, and can you expound more on internal validation versus external? Because I went.
Oh, yes, I can.
Goals and... or the reasons why I want to lose weight, all of that kind of thing. And a lot of it is external validation.
You're wanting somebody to tell you what a good job you're doing.
Well, or I want to have my weight loss affect externally, like relationships and things like that.
Okay.
And it popped out at me mm-hmm. going through this. And she may have mentioned low self-esteem. That might have been another trigger word she might have used. So I'm like, you know, what does she mean by internal validation, and how do I develop that list, and how do I really start working on that? Last month I tried writing a positive thing about myself, one every day, and not to repeat it.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of ran out by the end of the month. So I stopped doing it.
Okay.
So this internal I got something here that I got to talk to somebody about.
Oh, I wonder if I can find it. I read something so good, and I posted about this in the tribe. Out of this book. Yeah. This book. The 15 Invaluable Laws of Growth by John C. Maxwell.
Okay.
And one of the laws is called the Law of the Mirror. And what he says is you must see value in yourself to add value to yourself.
Yep.
Okay. And personal development is the belief that you are worth the effort, time, and energy to develop yourself. Okay.
Okay.
So what I posted about was, this is how you do it. This is how you start with internal validation. Every time you do a good job, don't let it pass. Give yourself a compliment. All right? Okay. So every time, what was the name of this book? 15 Invaluable Laws of Growth.
Laws of Growth. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Don't wait for someone else to tell you, oh, Kim, that was a great job. You tell yourself, you know what? I was really good today. I did really good work today. You know, I get off this coaching call tonight, I'm going to look at myself in the mirror and say, you are a good coach today, Kathy. Okay? Because nobody else is going to tell me that. So I might as well tell me that. The more I tell myself that, the more I believe that. Okay?
Okay.
So that's the first one. The second one is, every time you choose discipline over indulgence, don't tell yourself that you should have. Recognize how much you're helping yourself. So it's changing that conversation. So every time you say, no, I'm not going to eat that because it's not on my plan, you say, you don't say, well, that's the way I should do it. You should say, good job, Kim. That's exactly how we handle this. Right?
Huh. Okay.
Recognize how much you're helping yourself. You did a really good job today. That's exactly how we handle this. You're helping yourself. Okay?
Okay.
Then the third one is, every time you make a mistake, don't bring up everything that's wrong with you. Tell yourself that you're paying the price for growth and that you will learn to do better next time. So it's all about the self-talk. Internal validation is all about how you talk to yourself.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
It makes sense.
Yeah. So that's what you have to practice. That's how
it might be a little more difficult.
Well, it takes practice.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So I want you to, when we get off this call, go in the Tribe Facebook group.
Okay.
Into the units, into, I think it's called Coach's Lessons. I just posted those very things out of that book yesterday.
Okay.
Okay. I want you to write those down and I want you to carry them around with you. I want you to read them every day so that you can remind yourself that your own self-talk is what creates internal validation. You have to pat yourself on the back. You have to tell yourself that was good. You have to tell yourself it's okay that we made that mistake because this is how we grow. I told Corinne not too long ago, you know, I'm not really new to coaching, but I'm new to doing a lot of the admin work behind the scenes for PMP.
Okay.
And every time I make a mistake, I would beat myself up. I'd be like, man, she's going to pull this work from me. I'm not going to have, you know, she's not going to think I'm doing a good job. I was looking for her to tell me, Kathy, you're doing a fantastic job. And she's not going to do that. Okay. She's going to expect me to generate my own internal validation. So I decided every time she had to correct me on something, every time she found a mistake in something, that's exactly what I'm going to remember. I'm not going to make that mistake again. Right? So instead of saying, geez, Kathy, you're such a loser, you can't get it right, I would say, I turn that around to say, this is how we learn. Feedback like this is how I grow and how I get better and how I remember and how I do a better job next time. So it just changes that whole dialogue in your head and what you tell yourself.
Okay.
All right. So internal validation is telling yourself you're doing a good job, telling yourself you see the results of your work, telling yourself how proud you are of yourself, telling yourself it's just fine to make mistakes rather than expecting someone else to do that for you. Because you can't depend on anyone else to fill your tank. You have to do it yourself.
Right.
Other people may do it now and then. Corinne may tell me now and then, Kathy, you did a really good job. And that feels really good in the moment, but it's ultimately her thought.
Well, right? I really do have that ability to be downplay that.
Yeah.
When somebody does give you a compliment.
But that's...
So that whole... Yeah, this is really an interesting...
Yeah, that's their... I mean, you can agree with them or disagree with them. But even if you agree that you deserve the compliment, it's still what they said.
Right.
It's their thought, right? It's not what you've generated up here. Because right. What you've generated in your own mind is what creates the feeling of validation. Think about... Do you know the model?
Yes.
Think about the model, okay. The C line is
the circumstance.
Yep. Somebody says good job. Okay.
Good. I just happen to have a thought download handy.
All right. So the C line is somebody says good job. There's a thought, a feeling, an action, and a result. right?
Right.
If you put validated in the feeling line, the feeling comes from the thought, not from the C line, right? So let's say we put validated here, or proud. We'll put proud there. That we skipped a step. There's a T line here.
Right.
And that T line is yours.
Right. And so in the past, I've discounted it, meaning. Mm-hmm.
That's not true.
Right.
Right. That doesn't lead to proud or validated, yeah. Does it?
Yeah.
But what if you said, they're absolutely right. I did a good job. That's what leads to validated and proud. So internal validation is the thoughts that you tell yourself that create validated and proud.
So the thought
external
is-
validation is the C line, because that's what someone else said.
I did do a good job.
Yeah. They're right.
Or they
knocked it out of the park.
Yeah, they did notice. Or
mm-hmm. Well, it doesn't matter if they noticed. What matters is what you think.
How do I do what does the action and the result give me here?
Well, when you feel proud, what do?
I don't know.
All right. I say, Kim, you've really shown up on this coaching call. You asked a great question. Your thought is, I sure did.
Okay.
I got exactly what I needed out of that coaching call. I'm proud that I showed up, right? So when you're proud that you showed up, what do?
I don't know the action. I mean, I guess I feel...
Okay, when you're proud, maybe you repeat what you did. Maybe you pat yourself on the back. Maybe you tell yourself good job. Maybe you show up again tomorrow the same way. You repeat what you did. You learn. Right?
Actually, maybe just acknowledging that I did get noticed or something.
The getting noticed part is external because that's someone else.
Right. And I think I downplay that all the time.
Mm-hmm. Why don't you just start agreeing with them? You're right. I was really good today.
I feel like that's my ego's not there. I don't have that.
But do you have that thought? When somebody says, Kim, you did a good job today, do you agree with them?
No, not always. Usually not.
No, you pick yourself apart, right?
Right. It is a one of those consciously, I have to say, I realize the right response is supposed to be thank you, mm-hmm. but sometimes, you know, and then I defeat it, mm-hmm. you know.
So catch yourself doing that.
I do. I mean,
catch yourself and say, no, they're right. I am learning how to validate myself, and this is how I do that. No one's perfect, and no one expects perfection.
Right.
But I showed up, and I did a good job today.
Right.
Is my coaching perfect? No, but I'm showing up. I'm sitting here trying to teach you how to internally validate yourself.
There you go.
Right?
And the result is it'll happen more often, or I'll do reinforces that behavior.
Yeah.
Okay.
You learn more about how to support yourself. Because what happens when you begin to internally validate yourself is you gain confidence. And when you gain confidence, you show up even more.
Apply that to weight loss.
Okay.
Or I don't have confidence.
All right. How much weight did you lose last week?
Well, the last time I weighed myself, it's been 2 pounds. I'm 20 20 and a half pounds away down. I'm down.
Okay. You've lost 20 and a half pounds.
I'm 4.2 pounds from Queen's Club.
All right.
Which is the goal.
When did you join? In January?
No, September.
Okay. So the C line is you're 20 pounds down. Right?
Okay.
What's your thought?
I have 4.2 more to go to Queen's Club. Like, I can't lose. I can't
lose. All right, what's the thought? What's the thought?
I don't want to lose focus on the first goal.
What's the thought that creates pride? Go ahead and put pride in the feelings line. What's the thought that creates pride? How
are
you doing on the basics?
Pretty good, except for -2 to +2, which I've actually really focused on this past 7 days.
All right. I'm really focusing on the hunger scale.
Yeah, hunger scale. I'm good at water. I'm good at sleep. I'm doing the plans. Assessments are weak in the sense I do them, but I don't assess them in my head.
Listen to how you talk to yourself.
Yes.
Assessments are weak. I'm doing them, but they're weak.
Yes.
So you're qualifying your own good work.
To help enhance the conversation, of course.
All right. So here's what we've got so far. You're 20 pounds down. You're really focused on the hunger scale.
Yeah.
You're proud of that because you're really working on the hunger scale.
Yeah. It's kind of painful. I'm like painfully aware of how big that gap is.
Line when you're proud of your work on the hunger scale is what?
I kind of just acknowledgement that I have it. Like I do have a hunger scale.
Okay.
I got one.
That's a thought. I have a hunger scale. Oh, look. So what you do when you have pride in
it. I haven't had one in a very long time.
You continue to practice, right?
Yeah.
You practice. You make mistakes and you're okay with it. You assess. Right?
Right.
You have patience with yourself? Probably not, but that would be a good action here. and the result is
pee down.
The result is you get closer to nailing the hunger scale. Okay? So you get closer to nailing it because you're practicing. And you're learning from your mistakes and you're assessing. Okay?
Okay.
But it starts with this. It starts with the thought that creates pride. All right? And the actions that come from being proud of yourself create the results of getting even closer to nailing that hunger scale. So this is the cycle, right? I'm working on it. I feel good about it. These are the things I'm doing. I'm getting closer, which means I'm working at it. I feel good about it. You don't need Kathy to say, Kim, you're doing a great job on that hunger scale, because you already have the thought that you're focused on it and you're going to figure it out. That's the self-validating thought.
Okay. So it doesn't have to be fluffy.
No. All you have to do is recognize that you're working and that you can figure it out. Because you can. Anybody can figure out anything if they try hard enough.
Okay.
So it doesn't have to be, I look beautiful today. It doesn't have to be that.
Yeah.
It's all about how you talk to yourself and whether or not you would talk to your best friend that way.
Right.
It's how you build your own pride and confidence and self-validating thoughts.
Stopping my worst enemy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's come up in a couple of things I've read. So, okay. So this is my pre-kick because I will meet you next week. Will you be there Wednesday?
Yes. Are you coming to the 2-day?
2-day, and yeah, I'm 5-day all in.
Nice. Yeah. You're going to love it.
Yeah. No, I'm really looking forward to the all of it. Open to whatever happens.
Oh, that's amazing.
I know I'm going to walk away with a ton.
Yes, you are.
So.
Yes, you are. 5 days, 5 days of the Queen is very special.
Very good.
I've watched her do a couple of these 2 days now, and they're phenomenal.
Yeah. I'm a little intimidated, but we'll hang in.
You know what? You come in there and get your money's worth.
Yeah, there's that. I don't approach. Yeah. That's kind of why I did it. In the respect that if I'm paying, I'm going to go all in.
Good for you.
So.
Yay. I will see you in like 8 days, right?
Yes.
And I want you to tell me all these new self-validating thoughts you've come up with in those 8 days.
Okay.
Okay.
Fair enough. Hey, thanks for your help tonight.
You're welcome.
All right.
See you next week. Bye.
Thank you.
All right. I thought there was a hand here and there's not. Does anybody, let's see, we have 14 more minutes. Roz, you're up. Oh, look for your join audio button, Roz, bottom left. Find it.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, there you are. Hello.
I had to go find the button.
Yep.
I can't quite find decent lighting in my office, but anyway.
It's fine. I got all this glare in my glasses, so, you know, whatever.
Okay, so September baby. Mm-hmm. And he was doing really good until like January, February. Mm-hmm. A bunch of travel, some of it fun, some of it work. And now I've hit that point where I can lose about 20, 25 pounds. And then I start doing this sabotage. And now it's really funny. I see this like little image of this of me as the of like Chucky, that creepy doll, you know, kind of sabotaging me at night or in the office when I get stuck with tedious things that then I start munching. Mm-hmm. And I realized yesterday I kind of had a thought that actually may give me some ideas there, which is you're not hungry. You're just bored. You don't want to do this. Drink water. If nothing else, you'll have to go to the bathroom.
Right. That gives you something to do.
that does that. But the, you know, I've been doing the realistic planning. Mm-hmm. And I joined, it's a 2-week challenge that the PNP 100
mm-hmm.
is doing. And I think these are something that the tribe used to do a while ago before Back to Basics and mm-hmm. other things. Mm-hmm. So it's essentially the tracker of, you know, are you eating 2 to 2? Or are you following your plan?
Right.
And I'm getting to, you know, I'm getting to the point where I'm getting frustrated with myself and not just using this as data. And so I figured I'd jump on, see if you had any thoughts.
So what are you frustrated with?
I think I'm frustrated with me not following my plan.
So why aren't you following your plan?
And that's what I can't figure out. It's the urges, you know, craving.
Did you have urges before?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know.
Why did you follow it before and you're not following it now?
I don't know whether it was white knuckle and now I'm trying to figure out, dig behind that, or just too many other things going on that I'm going, well, you know, I need to do something here. Let me just go do that. Or, you know, things where I've been, you know, I'll come home and I really want one little sweet something. Mm-hmm. So I started putting that on my plan.
Mm-hmm.
And then I keep sliding into, well, let's clean off this other thing that's sitting here and
just put all the things on your plan, right?
You so know,
this sounds like stage two to me. Do you know the stages of weight loss?
Stage two. Yeah. Someone posted in the tribe,
yeah.
And I don't know whether it was a January baby or a September one, but I've hit the toddler stage. And that's really, you know, because I just, you know, it's kind of this
well, I'll show you. I'll make you break your planet. And I'm like, no, you won't. Yes, I will.
Yeah, it's that conversation. It's the angel and devil on your shoulder, right?
It's the angel and the devil.
Come on, Roz, let's eat. No, it's not on the plan. Come on, Roz, let's eat. No, it's not on the plan. It's that conversation, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And what you're doing is you're letting the come on, Roz, let's eat voice win. Right.
And that's, sometimes I will just say, okay, the kitchen is closed and I go upstairs.
Right.
And I'm just, okay, we're done.
Right.
And it may mean I go to sleep at 9 o'clock or
the second. Nothing wrong with that. Right.
Nothing wrong with that. Mm-hmm. But then some of it is like, but I have things I have to get done. Like, mm-hmm. This presentation that I just finished. Thank God.
So you do those instead of eat. Because eating is just a distraction. You're using it to distract you.
I definitely am. Mm-hmm. And I keep wondering whether there's more there. And it's no, it's distraction.
There doesn't have to be anything more there. You're just...
Sometimes it's a comfort, but it's not something I can identify as like yeah. you do with the ice cream.
It's not a comfort.
It's more of a, I'm stressed. And so, mm-hmm. and then I go and I evaluate... the plan and the what did I eat today and what didn't I do, and I don't always actually write the recovery worksheet on it. I read the questions and I write it in the prompts in mm-hmm. my little notebook because mm-hmm. that I'll have with me, and then I can flip back to it. I'm just kind of going. No, it's just I wanted something comfort like. Mm-hmm. And so
what ways can you comfort yourself other than eat?
That's what I think maybe what I need to do is, what is it I'm avoiding or what is it that I'm thinking I need?
Sometimes I'll ask myself when I have an urge to eat, I'll say, what am I really hungry for? And just do a little thought download on that, because it's probably not going to be Cheetos. It's probably going to be, I'm tired, or I want to finish this report, or, I want to rest, right? So start asking yourself, what am I really hungry for when you have an urge to eat?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then see what comes up, and then give it to yourself. Let's say, what am I really hungry for turns into, I'm just really tired. It's been a long week. Well, then you have the answer on how to properly provide yourself comfort.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes I know the answer is, well, go do the laundry. There are some downsides to living alone. One can procrastinate certain things.
True. True. You can procrastinate by eating too, right?
Well, yeah. Well,
and then then you've also procrastinated on your weight loss goals.
Right. Some of it is sort of the scales crawling down, but I've not ever set I want to lose 10 pounds in a month. I've always wanted 1 pound a week.
Yeah.
I think that's sustainable.
Sure. That's what I did.
And, some days it works, some days it doesn't. I have another question.
Okay.
Kind of unrelated. It's not that I don't drink. I don't drink very often. And so I find myself with certain social situations forgetting that it might even be something I'd want to do.
What do you mean?
And then it's not on my plan. Should I just, if I'm going out, just put it on the plan, even if then I'm not breaking a plan.
Yes. That makes it realistic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is just more a total lack of awareness of, oh yeah, I might want to actually have a drink mm-hmm. with my friend that night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just put it on your plan and then you can decide. You don't have to have a drink. But if you have it on the plan, then you've already told yourself how many you can have. If it's not on the plan and you break the plan, then 1 or 10 breaks the plan, right?
Right.
But if you put 2 on the plan, then you've already decided you're not going to have more than 2, but you don't have to have that many at all.
Yeah, and it's usually 1 or 2 glasses mm-hmm. of wine or mm-hmm. one something mixed, usually not all that, exciting.
Yeah. I would put it on the plane.
But then, I just need to, I need to put a reminder next to you're meeting your friend at, wherever.
Yeah.
you know, plan for alcohol this time.
Yeah.
Because I'll plan the dessert. We may not have the dessert, but then we'll have the alcohol instead.
Mm-hmm. And that's really break and plan, right? That's trading one exception for another. And you want to plan your exceptions pretty specifically.
Right.
That's what I did with my ice cream, right? I planned a beer and had ice cream instead. So, you know, recovery, here I come. It's not like I swapped broccoli for cauliflower.
Yeah, you know, that would be, it might be okay, depending on how much garlic there was in either one. But yeah, I think it's sort of like it's a food that I never think about that often, because it's really more out there in an exception than something I do. Chocolate, on the other hand, that goes on the plan. At this point, I'm putting it on daily, in like two little, like a reference size of two Hershey's Kisses. Mm-hmm. It may not be Hershey's Kisses, and it's maybe something small like that.
Yeah.
And then I'm with a reminder, are you hungry?
Yes. Right. What am I really hungry for? Mm-hmm.
Yes, I love that question. Yeah,
it's a good one, isn't it?
Yeah. So I will see you in June.
Okay, excellent. Your training going okay?
Mixed bag. You know, I mean, I've done one half. I'm leaning towards either a 10K or the half.
Mm-hmm.
I'm training for the half, but I've been derailed this week with, I've been in the office till like 7, 9. And at that point, I'm going home and, you know, going to wash my face and do something.
Yeah.
Just be a vegetable for an hour with my trashy novel.
See how, yeah, there you go. See how the next, you still have a couple of months.
Those I definitely do. I mean, I have a 10K on Saturday.
Oh, good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's half the distance anyway. So,
yeah.
You know, I just need to build it back, and I think I'll be okay to build it back.
Sounds good.
There's a 10K.
That's right. And it's just as good. It's just as pretty.
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm. All right. I will see you soon.
And then I added, like, I'm staying Monday to go see Nashville a little bit. So
Good.
Someone can post a thread maybe of, you know, hey, these, you know, here's the, like, the Nashville Visitor Center or something, you know, to do some sort of looking around. That would be so awesome.
Let me see what I can find about Nashville.
Yeah,
make myself a note.
I've been to Tennessee, but I've never been to Nashville.
All right. I'll see what I can find for you.
Looking for just sort of, you know, some places on the web to go look and plan, like, visits or something.
Sounds good.
Thank you so much.
You are welcome.
I really wanted to get on the call with you, and then I was like, oh, well, maybe I'll listen. But
thank you. You're welcome.
I love your insights. They're very helpful. And I also love your hair.
Oh, thank you. I must have done a really nice job today, huh?
Yeah, no, and, you know, the cut's good, too.
So, Kim, listen up, right? Thank you, Roz. I love my hair, too. See you later.
Bye. Thank you.
All right. Susan, let's do this real quick, okay? Since you got your hand up. Are you there, Susan? Hey.
Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. It's still light where you are.
It is. I'm enjoying the last little bit of sunlight.
Mm-hmm. What's up?
So I wanted to hop on here. I want to work on leveling up my thoughts about my husband.
Okay.
So I didn't ask coaches a couple months ago, and my original thought is that my husband complains a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So I've leveled that up to be... things like there's no benefit to me thinking. My husband complains. It only harms me. I'm open to thinking new thoughts about my husband.
Mm-hmm.
Open to noticing my thoughts about my husband.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of helped me get from feeling pretty crappy to, you know, move towards neutral. And now I want to kind of push the needle from neutral to curious and even compassion on and see.
Okay.
I notice this most at night when he comes home and we're sitting down and having dinner, and I kind of caught this doing recovery worksheets because my overeats will happen at dinner. And so those thoughts are creating some stress, and it, you know, it will create stress eating after dinner. So,
okay. So what's the next level for the thoughts? What do you want to think? Let's do a pie in the sky. What do you want to think? What seems unbelievable?
I'd like to be able to say he trusts me and he feels safe with me, and he's venting.
So you'd like to be able to say it's okay for him to vent.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's your next
Thank
level
you.
Up. That's okay. Your next level up. Because you can't say that yet.
Right.
You know, because really the pie in the sky thought is he's allowed to have his opinion.
Right.
And
right.
The feeling is compassionate. So in order to get there, that next level for you might be, I'd like to be able to say he's allowed to have his opinion.
Okay.
And that feeling is what? Acceptance?
Acceptance.
Mm-hmm.
Curious. Compassion.
Yeah.
I like acceptance.
Yeah. You could also say, I'm open to believing he's allowed to have his own opinion.
Okay.
Sometimes I think it's okay that he has his own opinion.
Okay.
That he's allowed to vent, or whatever it was I said. These right. are called openers. It's just a little phrase you add on to a thought you don't believe yet. The one that you really want to believe is he's allowed to vent. I can handle his venting, whatever it is. And to work into that, you say, one day I hope to believe that I can handle this. You know, one day I want to believe that I can handle this. Does that feel more like where you are right now, or is that still a stretch?
I like the I can handle this, or I can handle his venting. I'm open to handling his venting. I think that gets me to a better. Because I've noticed, you know, as I've leveled up my thoughts, it creates a space for me to kind of slow my roll. So I'm less likely to overeat. So I think if I can keep creating that space, that will help.
Mm-hmm. Do this. Get a piece of paper and draw a ladder on it. Okay? Like this. All right. And down at the bottom of the ladder is the unintentional thought. His venting drives me crazy, or whatever it is. And at the top of the ladder is, I can handle whatever he has to say, or he's allowed to say whatever he wants to say. That's the top of the ladder is the pinnacle of the thoughts, the one you want to get to. And then play with these rungs in between.
Okay.
Figure out where you are and what the thought is and how to level it up. Just draw yourself this little diagram. It's super helpful when you see it that way. And you can kind of craft the thought as you want to. So what did we just say? I'm open to believing.
Mm-hmm.
He's allowed to vent or something like that.
Okay.
So maybe that's right here on the ladder. Maybe it's, you know, one step from the top, but maybe it's two steps from the top and you need to create another line right here. So just work on this. Draw yourself a ladder. Think about it like a thought ladder. You're working your way up each rung. Once you believe the rung you're on, what's the next step for you?
Okay.
Because sometimes it's easy to bridge thoughts. Sometimes it only takes one thought to bridge the unintentional and the intentional. But I think for you, it's going to take more than one.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, no, I've been thinking this thought for a long time. We've been married for 23 years, so mm-hmm. so yeah. I love him.
But. So it's going to take a minute for you to bridge all the way up to he's allowed to have an opinion.
Right.
Does that help?
Okay. It does help.
All right. If you need
help, I appreciate you.
Yeah. If you need help with these, if you need help, you know, with more openers and closers to help with those thoughts, just post back and ask coaches. I remember your question.
Yeah.
Betsy and I will catch it and help you with it. Okay.
Okay. I will do.
All right.
Okay.
See you later.
All right. Thanks, Kathy.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
All right. There's two quick questions here I'm going to get to. Michelle says, it's hard to compliment myself. I would feel like I was bragging. That's exactly what it feels like, and it's okay to brag. That's how you create internal validation. You can call it bragging, or you can call it being kind to yourself. Bragging has kind of a negative connotation. Being kind to yourself doesn't. But if you want to spend the rest of your life waiting for someone else to pat you on the back, you might be waiting a minute. You know, you have to learn to do that yourself so that you can build your own self-confidence. And trust me on this. I have learned this. I mean, I have done a lot of work on this. And it's so true that you have to, you just find yourself in a much better place emotionally if you validate yourself. If you believe enough in yourself to take care of your own emotional well-being. All right, you guys. I will see you next week. Take care. Bye.